So what's Washington doing right now? So right now we have an infrastructure bill that passed the Senate and is now delayed in the House and sitting there waiting in the House. If, you know, if you guys have seen the I'm Just a Bill on Capitol Hill, that theme song kind of runs through my head from now I'm trying to remember what the cartoon is, but it's that bill walking up, the tiny bill walking up the steps of the Capitol and then sitting dying on the hill. And that's right now the infrastructure bill is waiting. What's it waiting for? It's waiting for the budget reconciliation process. And so I'm going to skip ahead and then go back for a second. The budget reconciliation process is basically special rules to pass a number of budget bills. And it was intended in the beginning to kind of get a small bills through. And the reason why the party in power, and this has been true with Republicans and with Democrats, want budget reconciliation is most legislation has to pass the Senate with 60 votes. Budget reconciliation, you only need a majority. You only need 51. So if you can't get 60 votes, you want to put something in budget reconciliation, and that's how you can get it passed. So previously, the Obama administration used it for healthcare. Republicans have used it for tax cuts. But it does have limits. And so it has to be related to the budget. So you can't just throw in anything. Like, for example, one of the things we deal with a lot is capping interest rates. Could you put a 36% rate cap in a budget reconciliation? Well, our answer would be no, because it doesn't meet what's called the Byrd rule. That was named after Senator Byrd, and he put these limits on budget reconciliation. And so for those of you who are unfamiliar with the most powerful person you've never heard of, that's the Senate parliamentarian. And she's responsible for determining what can go in a reconciliation package and what can't. So I'll skip ahead one more slide and then go back. So the budget reconciliation process is kind of complicated, and I don't think, honestly, anyone needs to go into the big detail. But the overarching point is a budget reconciliation, there's ideas that get thrown out there. So you kind of put the outlines of a package together. And then right now where we are in the process is that the House committees are putting what they want in the bill. When they finish that, they can pass that and heads over to the Senate. And what should happen is that the Senate committee should also have an open and transparent process where they debate and vote on what goes in. Instead, everything is done in dark rooms and then voila, the package comes out of the Senate. So that's where we are right now, is deep in budget reconciliation. Also going on at the same time here, we have appropriations. This is the annual funding of the U.S. government. In order to spend money, they got to say where it's going to come from. And so one of the biggest packages right now is the Defense Authorization Act, because everybody knows that needs to go through. We need to defend the Pentagon. We need to defend our defense. We need to pay our defense. And so what happens with that one is, because it's something that has to go through and something everybody wants to vote for, is a lot of other stuff gets added to it. So for example, right now there's some amendments proposed dealing with credit reporting, where you couldn't have negative credit reporting on active duty service members. So that's one of the proposed amendments. There's a student loan proposed amendment, and some of that may go through and some of it won't. But I'm just showing that a lot of different stuff can kind of get added to this appropriations process. Also coming down the pike is the debt ceiling. The U.S. has almost hit its limit, and the Congress is going to have to vote to increase it, but a lot of people don't. And in order to get those votes to increase it, someone's going to have to give. And so then briefly, we don't need to go into all the 2022 elections, but the reason that this is all so rushed and the reason we're all trying to get this done, well, besides debt ceiling limits or the fact we actually need to fund the Pentagon, but why are we rushing budget reconciliation? Why are we rushing infrastructure? Because next year, again, we're in an election year. And clearly, both the Senate and the House, the Democrats in the Senate and the House, have very narrow majorities. And the Republicans have a very good chance of taking over the House and a potential chance of taking over the Senate. And so the Democrats know anything they want to get through, they got to get it through before people start getting distracted by the elections and then before the actual elections happen. And I should add at this point that please feel free to ask me any questions. You can type your questions in the chat. You don't need to wait till the end. I'm happy to take questions at any time. So please go ahead. Okay, so we'll skip past these slides that we went over and go back to legislative developments for mortgage. So focusing now on what may matter a little more for your industry. So the House Financial Services Committee has some stated priorities. And the House Financial Services Committee, for those of you who may not follow it every day and get your regular emails from Chairwoman Maxine Waters, that's the committee in the House that deals with mortgage. So what they want to do, they want to improve language access. So they want to see documents, applications, communication in many different languages. Financial literacy, always a priority, of course, completely non-controversial. Foreclosure protections. I'm sure you guys are well up on eviction moratoriums. As you can see, COVID-19 eviction moratoriums, foreclosure. Basically, some of the members of the committee believe that you should never be forced to leave your house. There is a mix on the committee of moderates and progressives. And so the moderates have been very successful so far in keeping the reforms rational. And then we also have the Senate, which used to be the Senate Banking Committee. And the reason the word housing is emphasized is because when the Democrats took control of the Senate, they changed the name of the Senate Banking Committee back to what it used to be. So now it's called the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs, or for short, Senate Banking. But housing is the key word here, and housing has been one of Chairman Brown's focus. He really wants fair housing. He wants homeowner assistance. He wants public housing grants. His focus has been really strong. However, he has yet to even hold a committee vote. So looking back at House Financial Services, we have our chairwoman, Maxine Waters, and our ranking member, Patrick McHenry, who are on fairly opposite sides of the spectrum, I gotta say. So here are a few of the hearings that the House Financial Services Committee has. And so hearings can be an opportunity to show here's where legislation's gonna go. Here's what we're looking at. Or it can be, hey, we have some constituents that we want to let their voices heard. So for the Democrats, that may be, hey, the advocates keep pushing us for something. Let's try to give them an opportunity through a hearing, and then nothing will go further. So sometimes a hearing is the first step in legislation. Sometimes these hearings are just that, they're hearings, and then it's over.